Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've spoken a lot about this subject. Are the lives of some journalists worth more than others? So we've been following the story, of course, with the Al Jazeera journalist who was tragically killed in an event that she was covering. It became a massive global story, whilst journalists in Mexico are being targeted and murdered. Journalists in Ukraine are losing their lives as they cover the story, but very, very little coverage and very little respect, unfortunately, is given to them. Why is it that the lives of some journalists are worth more than others, and is there a way to change this? Joining us this morning, Arsen Ostrovsky. He's a leading international human rights lawyer. He's a political analyst and a commentator on the subject. A very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you for having me on.
So how do we manage this? Because whether we like it or not, this is just the way it appears to be, that a journalist shot covering a conflict in Israel is treated differently to a journalist covering another conflict. First of all, why is this?
I think that's nothing new. Israel has always been subjected to a double standard, whether that is on this particular issue, whether it's at the United Nations, whether that's in any real sort of matter of public diplomacy and international relations. So this is nothing new, and it's obviously very, very unfortunate. You know, the journalists play a truly sacrosanct role in any democracy, certainly in Israel. The role of a free press, an open press, the role of journalists is crucial to our thriving as a functioning liberal democracy. But unfortunately, in this particular case, and I think as you noted in your introduction, journalists are being targeted and killed the world over. But in this particular case, because the alleged perpetrator supposedly was Israel, the Palestinians and the world media have jumped onto this to make it a cause célèbre, so to speak, or to make it a focus of their campaign, when all journalists' lives obviously ought to be equally precious. And it's obviously tragic that Shirin Abu Akel was killed, but what's even more tragic is the politicization of her death by the Palestinian Authority.
Mm. To a large extent, she's been objectified, hasn't she? She does become less of a person and more of a political pawn in this process.
You're spot on there. I mean, she's no longer a Shirin, a journalist. She has now become sad as it is, but she's become a tool of the Palestinian Authority's propaganda against Israel, and something that unfortunately is being aided and abetted by so many in the international community who have jumped to all sorts of conclusions, notwithstanding the fact that even the investigation itself just the other day has said that you cannot make a definitive conclusion given the damage to the bullet and the time that has lapsed.
Mm. So the question is this, is how do we handle it? Because the reality on the ground is that whether we like this or not, she becomes a political pawn or whatever it is to push people's agenda. The truth hardly matters because the press will report it according to their own bias or agenda. And in the meantime, the world is left very much with the impression that Israel deliberately targeted this woman as she covered the story.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's often said that truth is the first casualty in war. We're in an ongoing conflict, and one that's not immune to disinformation and various propaganda campaigns. But I think it's necessary here, specifically now, to really reiterate the truth here and reiterate notwithstanding the tragic circumstances of her death, the fact that it's been made even more tragic by the PA's perverse politicization of it. But I think what what we have seen here is that given the, you know, essentially the PA's delays, the deliberate obfuscation and refusal to cooperate with Israel from the very outset, who has reached out and said, let's conduct a joint investigation. So I think it was inevitable that any forensic investigation 2 months after her death would be inconclusive, as was the case and as was found by the U.S. Investigators and the Israelis as well. So the fact of the matter is that sadly we may never come to a final conclusion now.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think we'll ever really know? Your answer there is probably not.
No, it's impossible. I mean, look, it's been 2 months after her death now. The evidence has been so heavily compromised. The bullet, as the investigation found, has been so badly damaged that you cannot make any kind of definitive conclusion. The only thing that we do know for a fact is that Israel does not target journalists, full stop. It may well have happened by, obviously, unintentionally. We have to remember that where she died, in Jenin, Jenin is a hotbed of Palestinian terrorists. At least some, I think, three attacks have emanated from Jenin in the past year, of which at least five or six Israelis have died. We also know that a large number of Palestinian militants and terrorists were in the area as well. So she may also have died as a result of the crossfire. The bottom line is we don't know. We do not know. Notwithstanding all these investigations, no one was there at the scene that can testify. And the bullets investigation is inconclusive. And I think that's at the end of the day the main point.
Well, I think the two issues here that if anybody sort of took a moment and just thought about would be fairly obvious. And one is the point that you made, that Israel doesn't target journalists. If Israel's pretty good at this stuff. If they wanted to target journalists, certainly after all these years, she wouldn't be the first one that we would be speaking about. This would be something that would be an ongoing story and not one that happens, especially at an event like this. And the second question... we seem to have lost Arsene. I'm sure we will get him back in a moment. The second point that I was going to make is to what end? What would Israel, assuming that they did this deliberately, to what end? What good did they ever think would come out of it? And obviously there would be very, very little. Arsene, are you back with us?
I am indeed.
The second part of my comment was, if we look at a motivation, why would Israel have done this? They would have known that no good could come out of it and nothing would have been gained. There seems to be very little real motive for doing such a thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, look, Israel does not target journalists, does not target civilians, full stop. The Israeli Defense Forces were in the area in Jenin conducting a counterterrorism operation. As I said, Jenin has become a hotbed of Palestinian terrorists and militants, from where a number of attacks have emanated this year that have resulted in numerous casualties and Israeli civilians, by the way, who have been killed as a result of these terror attacks. Journalists put their lives on the line. They have a very difficult job and they need to be protected 100%, absolutely. Israel does not target journalists, and we, at the end of the day, again, because of the time that has lapsed, because of the Palestinians' refusals to cooperate, we also have to ask the questions, you know, why didn't they cooperate sooner? What were they trying to hide? It's obviously quite transparent. The only reason that they have even come this far now
but those questions aren't asked. But those questions aren't asked by media, and that to me is the part that perhaps concerns me more. The Palestinians are going to conduct themselves the way they choose to. Israel will do the same. The role of the media is absolutely vital in all of this, to ask the questions, but they don't ask those questions. They don't hold the Palestinian Authority to task at all. They don't ask, well, what Israel would have gained, why other journalists have never been targeted in the past, therefore it wouldn't make any sense. Why does the media turn a blind eye when it comes to these types of questions that they should be interrogating?
Look, that's a great question. I think if you only have to look at the the AP, CNN, I think Washington Post, they all conducted quote-unquote investigation into the matter, concluding that it was Israel that was responsible for her death, notwithstanding, two critical factors. One, they did not have a single witness who actually saw the shooting, and two, they did not conduct any kind of forensic investigation of the bullet, the result of which only came now, and the result which said there was inconclusive. So it's really nothing to their so-called investigation beyond pure conjecture and speculation. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the Middle East conflict, this kind of story sells. It sells for them when they can portray Israel as inherently guilty and the Palestinians as inherently the innocent party. This kind of perverse David and Goliath battle sells in the media. That's unfortunate, and that does so at the expense of the truth and the facts.
And there seems to be this underlying notion that Israel is guilty, and that no matter what happens, if somebody's a victim, then they can never be blamed, because we are not allowed to victim blame. So the minute we paint somebody as a victim in the media, and that's become an accepted universal truth, then there can be no blaming of those victims no matter what. And that seems to be an underlying assumption of the media that we just can't seem to shake.
Look, it's a battle. Israel isn't asking and never has asked for any kind of special treatment, whether it's before media scrutiny or whether it's in the international arena such as the UN. What we do ask for is equal treatment. And the fact of the matter is, Israel has systematically been denied this kind of equal treatment or reporting, whether it is at the UN, whether it is before many in the international press or in the international fora like the UN. And that's something, obviously we have to deal with. And at the end of the day, it's impossible to shake off entirely, but we need to maintain our position and, insistence on our values or principles and speaking out for the truth, whether it's in the case of the death of journalist Shirin Abu Akleh or whether it's in a broader context of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Absolutely right. Arsen Ostrovsky, he's a leading international human rights lawyer, political analyst, commentator, and CEO of the International Legal Forum. He's been chatting to us while the Al Jazeera journalist story has taken the news by a storm, but we've seen this happen in many other areas and other journalists who have died in the past with a lot less reaction. Arsen, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.